When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Captain America shirt.
Yeah.
But you're Canadian.
And sweating like a warthog, too.
It's 103 out there.
Yeah, what up with that?
I know, dude. We're paying for having such a warm winter while the rest of the world was freezing their buns off. Now God is burning us up in hell over here.
Is that what it is?
L.A., yeah, he's punishing us.
I figured it had to be with the Almighty because... There's something funny.
God
wrong.
Has said, Los Angeles, your ticket has been called. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I know
yeah.
it.
I'm
it's
not good
so.
In this. No, it's not. It's doubly not good to have menopause in heat.
Oh.
See, because then you got the double heat.
Mm-hmm.
You're just a mess. But you,
How long does
I
this
might
menopause
add,
thing go on for?
Oh, I was going to say the dirty word, but apparently it could go on for years.
Really?
Yes. My friend Kathy's had it for 10 years now. And when she told me that, I wanted to slap her.
10 years.
Yeah, 10
that's kind of like what people tell you about kids. Like whenever you're having like trouble with your kids or your toddler has a bad day or throws a fit, they're like, oh, you think two's bad? Wait for the three-nager. And then someone else chimes in and they go, oh, wait for the effing fours, Satan sixes. I'm like, stop! It's like, you know, and they're like, wait till they're 30. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah.
I'm switching, but you look great. What up with that?
Listen to this. So, you know how you get these ideas in your head of who you are and what you're capable of? And we talk about that a lot. And
yeah.
It's based on your previous experiences and the way you brought up, the way you've been brought up and what you've been through in your journey of life. And, you know, for me, I've always talked about how I'm not an athlete. And I work out, obviously, and I become good at working out and I'm in good shape. But it's never something that's come easy to me. I've never been... in a sport and been fantastic at it. Even when I was in martial arts, I wasn't flexible. I didn't have the speed that I wished I had. I was powerful. And, you know, I learned to appreciate the I just turned Janice's mic off again. Is this my mic?
That's your
mic. Thank you. Blowing Janice's eardrums out.
What?
What?
Huh?
What? Yeah. Anyway, so I've always just kind of accepted the fact, like, I'm a crap runner. I never really get better at running. And I've sort of accepted the fact that, like, hey, you know what? I'm not a natural athlete, but I utilize fitness, and fitness has always been a tool for me. And we've talked about this to help empower people redefine their self-image, boost their quality of life, and so on.
As it's done for you.
Yes, exactly what it's done for me. And so as I've gotten older, you know, I decided, well, for 40, I want to get in really good shape. And there's something called a pistol squat. Have you ever seen this? It's a one-legged squat. Essentially, on one leg, you go all the way down and you hover your bum a couple inches from the ground. You touch your chin to the squatting leg, to the knee of the squatting leg, and then stand back up.
Oh,
and,
please.
And you hold the opposite foot out, right? A pistol squat. And I've never been able to do it. Never. Never been able to do it. And I've always thought, like, well, that's just for athletes. I just can't do it. And so we're working on this project, which is my follow-up to Body Revolution, right? It's called Body Shred. And I have assembled this team of incredible athletes and fitness professionals. I mean, I've flown them in literally from all over the world, whether it was some are in from Sweden, some are in from Omaha. I mean, I literally have flown them in from all over the world. And they're working with me as like a team of trainers on this project for the person who purchases it. But of course, as we're going through the moves and, you know, we're trainers, we're all in the same field. And one of them is really great at all this stuff. It's called calisthenics, and it's essentially handstands and all that, this kind of pistol squats and what have you. And I was like, I've never been able to do this. It drives me crazy. And he looks at me and he's like, well, what's the issue? And I was like, well, I can get down, but I fall backwards. Because like the minute I get all the way down to the ground, I didn't have the flexibility in my Achilles. And I thought maybe I just don't have the core strength to be able to lean forward and this and that. And he's like, oh, he's like, here's what you need to do. Put a tiny little plate under your heel or start practicing, you know, in a weightlifting shoe. And this will help you with your lack of flexibility. And once you start to get it down, then you can start removing the plate. I've been practicing this, I cannot tell you, years, and I've never been able to do it, right? Sticks the little plate under my heel, down and up like it's nothing.
That's psychological.
No.
It's got to be.
Janice, it's not. No, it isn't. It truly is my, I don't have the flexibility in my Achilles. So when I go down, I don't have that flexibility and I do fall backwards. So what it's done is that inch of lift has given me that inch of flexibility that I don't have, that I can gradually start to work on. And as I learn the muscle memory of the move, then I'll start to pull it away. So now I just put like my little flip flop under my foot and it's like a half of an inch. And here's what this taught me. As much as I know this in my heart of hearts, and we talk about it all the time, it is amazing. In that moment, I was like, you know something? This is an extraordinarily advanced move. And this guy, his name is Chris, he looked at me and he's like, there are very few women that can do that. He's like, that's really impressive. And I was like, I am an athlete. That's hard. That's really, that's a hard thing to do. You have to be extremely athletic to be able to do that exercise. And in that moment, I had kind of that moment that I give my contestants, you know, where they've run their first mile or they've done their first push-up, where they go, oh my God, all this time I had this idea of, you know, I'm a crap athlete, I'm not good at it, and it's just become part of my persona. But it's like I do it, and I do it as best I can, even though it's not as awesome as I wish it was, because I want to be healthy, and I want to be this, and I want to be that. But in that moment, I was like, wow, you know something? Years of working out has actually possibly made me an athlete. And it took that little moment, but there's more to it than that, actually. We've talked before about practice, right? And everyone thinks that practice makes perfect. You do it over and over and over and over and over and over again. Well, I have practiced this exercise over and over and over and over and over again in a million different ways, right? Holding onto a pulley so I pull myself back up and assist. And I've tried it a million different ways and haven't been able to get it. And there's something called specific practice or target practice where you get feedback. And someone goes, an expert will look at you and say, oh, here's what you're doing wrong. And by giving you a small tweak, you work on what the issue is. Well, I now know the issue was my flexibility. I didn't have the flexibility to be able to do it. And in having some feedback, identifying the issue, with one small tip and tweak, I was able to do it. And it just goes to show you that it isn't about hours of repetition. It is about being able to have the ego strength to take the feedback and fix what you're doing wrong. And that's really hard for people to hear, like, oh, you're doing something wrong, or you're not good at something, or this is your weak spot. But the reality is that we all have weak spots. That's part of what makes us human. And being able to accept that with zero judgment and shame about the things that we struggle with frees you up to then work on these things and subsequently become better and achieve more and do more and have more. All from a pistol squat, huh?
Yes.
Well, but that's true. Like, look at a guy like Tiger Woods, who, yeah, one of the greatest golfers, and he lost his, I don't know, he lost something, his swing. I don't know, what was it, Paul? He lost something.
He did?
And he got someone. He's, and talk about take what you're saying. It's like that ego, like, he's the greatest, one of the
golfer
greatest
in the
golfer
world.
In the world. And yet he's, some guy's going, you know, if you just shifted your hip this way,
yeah,
you get it back. So it's like what Chris did to you. It's like, well, just stick this plate on. Like, that's, it's amazing.
Yeah.
However, and you know what pisses me off?
Ooh,
now?
What?
Because this whole GD tour, you've been telling the people, I'm not an athlete. And I've always...
I'm not a natural athlete.
But I've always
There's that
listened
for sure.
to you. And
I'm not a natural
and
athlete.
And I tune you out there because I just go, that's BS.
Oh.
Not
yeah.
that I, not that you feed the people BS. I'm just saying that I never... It never resonated with me when you said, when you went into that, because I just went, no, that's... It's,
you know why, Janice? It's never been easy. And I always thought, my God, this is so hard for me. And like, I know people can... They just get on the little treadmill and they run and they run and they run. And I mean, let me tell you, just the other day, I was like, my God, it, you know, I can run a 9-minute mile now, but it has taken, again, it has taken me years. And there are people that run a 9-minute mile and laugh like it's nothing.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm like, let me tell you, at the end of that 9-minute mile, I feel it. I'm like, oh, mother of God, I have to stop and walk and recover. It's not easy for me. It's hard for me. It's still hard for me. And after all these years, I'm not flexible. I'm not fast. I'm very good at having explosive power and strength, but it's just, it's never been easy for me. Sports have never come easy to me. I've never had a unique talent for anything with regard to fitness, and everything involving fitness has been work. So whether it was, you know, a self-held bottom fist break in martial arts or whatever it was,
yeah,
it was always work. It never came easy. And I guess they say, you know, it's 1% inspiration, 99% perspiration, but it's also very, that very specific
yeah.
kind of perspiration where you do have to be willing to A, open your mind to the possibility of it, B, to suck at it. And I think that's really hard for people because a lot of people have a hard time going from that process of completely incompetent at something to moderately competent, to okay, to good, to great. People just think, well, if I'm not great at it, I'm not going to do it. Mm. And I even see it with my kids.
People believe it should be natural. There yeah. should be a natural thing about it.
You know, it's nobody wants to work on the things they're not great at.
Right.
Even my little girl, it's her teacher told us, work with her on beading, work with her on threading things, because her motor skills aren't super. And for the first 2 years of her life, she was kept in a freaking room
yeah.
that was like, you know, what? 10 by 15. I'm not kidding. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever let her feed herself. Nobody ever talked with her. Nobody ever played with her. Nothing. She, you know, we call it baby jail. I mean, she had her basic needs met and that's about it. So the teacher was like, work with her on, and Lou never wants to do it, of course, because it's hard for her. It's
right.
not good for her. So she doesn't want to do it. And I try to just say, hey, sweetie, you know, she's like, no, I don't want to. And I'm like, Lou, we don't have to be good at things to do them. It's okay to struggle with things and embrace that challenge a little bit, honey, and like make it fun to see if we can do it together, to try to shift her perception of I'm bad at this, I don't want to do it, to this is an interesting challenge, I wonder if I can get better at it.
Mm-hmm.
But even with on body shred, you know, I've got these athletes, and some are dancers, some are yogis, some are CrossFit athletes and Olympic lifters. I've some are calisthenics athletes and gymnasts, and they're all good at several fitness modalities, and I mean excellent, right? Some have impeccable balance and stability. Some have impeccable power and strength. Some have impeccable endurance. Some have impeccable flexibility. But the interesting thing about body shred is that it works every fitness modality. So you will have to incorporate flexibility, balance, speed, power, strength, endurance. And to see these athletes that have become so proficient in a few of these modalities get challenged by several of the others, it's very interesting for them to go back to a place of struggling, because we are naturally going to do the things that we're best at.
Right.
Because it serves our ego. But there's so much richness and reward in working on and looking at, evaluating and examining those weaker parts of ourselves.
Yeah.
Because it opens up an infinity of possibility and a whole world to you that you've shut yourself down from just because you're not great at it. And so I don't know. I just thought, this is cool. Like, it's amazing to me how I'm constantly evolving and constantly growing. And you have to, though, open yourself up to working on those parts of you that aren't awesome at things.
And for you to believe that you really are an athlete.
Well, I'm athletic now.
I wish you told me all this time that you were having trouble with your pistol grip or whatever.
Squat, sorry.
Because yeah. I had the answer for you before that fellow gave you the plate.
What was your answer?
You go into the giggy.
What?
You use giggy strength. It's really deep. Like the giggy area, area.
Uh-huh.
Is a lot of power down there. And
let me see it. Show me your pistol squat.
Well, I'm just saying for you, I would have helped you. That's what I would have said. I would have said, oh, Jill, you should go into your giggy strength.
Let me see you do it.
Well,
we all forgot your giggy's totally out of practice. Right? There's no strength there now, is there? That's the thing. Someone's let her giggy strength go.
I'm just saying
that
there's a lot of... I've got a bent giggy. I don't know what to say. I'm just saying that there's core.
An atrophied giggy. That's what you have.
And then there's down. Like when I dream about flying, I go right in there. And I go, oh, and that's where I fly from. Is from the. Maybe I've shared a bit too much at this point. But what I'm saying is sometimes maybe you're in touch with your giggy.
Let me see your pistol squat.
I've got the bent giggy, so I don't
know.
Let me
see it. Right. Okay. Well, that's pretty good so far. She's halfway down.
See?
No, she's on the ground. All right, that's good.
Because
you never tried it. That's not fair. It takes years. Yeah. And by the way, again, you need someone to teach you how to do it. You can't just do it.
No, I've got a heavy giggy. So.
Clearly. All right. I'm an athlete. Who cares about your giggy?
You're an athlete. Well, congratulations.
Thank you.
No, that's you know what? It's fantastic.
Uh-huh.
All right.
All right. Now what?
Well, we're going to go fix my giggy and we're going to do something else.
That's going to take a while.
Okay.
I'm talking about Blue Apron right now. Mm-hmm. You excited, Manis?
I am.
Yeah, guys, maybe you've heard me talk about this company already. They are so cool. Here is what they do. They deliver all the fresh ingredients you need right to your doorstep in the exact proportions to make delicious meals of your choice. And guess what? This means no trips to the grocery store, no waste from unused ingredients, and no waste of extra cost. Plus, we all know the healthy advantages of cooking a meal at home instead of bringing in food or going out and getting food because you cannot control how much salt, sugar, oil, butter they put into the food. Each menu takes 40 minutes or less. You simply sign up at blueapron.com/Jillian today. And guess what? You can get 3 meals per week for 2 people starting as low as $9.99 per person. Plus, there's free shipping. So for a limited time, all my listeners who sign up at blueapron.com/Jillian will be eligible for 2 meals free on their first delivery, which is a value of up to $20 on your first order. Last night, I personally had the homemade veggie burgers. Delicious. Thank you very much. Now, Blue Apron is a subscription service with no commitment. And this means you can cancel at any time you want. It's great for families. It's great for people on the go. Couples looking for a healthier alternative to takeout. Just go to blueapron.com/Jillian and check it out.
Yes, Jillian.
Are we recording?
Yes.
I kind of took that from the Love Boat.
I know, really, I couldn't tell.
McManus. She's got something for everyone. Woo. Yeah.
Well, not really.
Giggy of passion.
What'd you say?
Giggy of passion. I could go on, but kids are probably listening.
Yeah.
Okie dokie. Are you ready?
Yep.
Janice actually tried to do her job.
Yeah.
Shocking. And she pulled a little... Oprah. Oh. She pulled an article from...
She pulled
is it
from
O?
Oprah.
Is it from O Magazine? And it's called, Is Stress Contagious? Mind you, Janice brings me articles that... This one's a half of a page. Wow.
Well,
you're lucky I'm such an expert that I'm able to expand upon this subject matter because I'm unbelievably well-versed and professional in my area of expertise. So I can speak upon this intelligently and offer advice. Because here's what Janice gives me. Is stress contagious? Research suggests that other people's anxiety may be harmful to your health. Then there's a paragraph that says, is someone in your office always on edge or borderline hysterical? And then it talks to you, like, this one little paragraph shows you how to appreciate if someone else is stressed. Then the next paragraph says, blame empathy. Then it says, most people think of empathy as a positive thing, but it can be draining.
Yeah.
And they give you, this paragraph gives you a little study about mice that experienced light shocks reacted with alarm. Mice reacted with alarm when watching another mouse get light shock treatment. Good animal testing. You know how I feel about that. Mm. That's the second paragraph. Then the third paragraph says you can smell someone's fear through sweat.
Yeah.
And the final paragraph says put on your oxygen mask. So basically it says don't lose your sense of compassion, but try to stop your empathy from causing you pain. And then there's a quote that says, when you're calmer, you're better able to recognize secondhand stress and separate yourself for your own state of being. And that's it. That's not really a tip, I don't think. I don't think that's helpful.
No, they're saying that secondhand stress is...
I got that part, but where's the solution?
Oh, I don't think there is one.
There is.
Is
and
there?
You know how I know?
Why?
I'm going to liken it back to an experience that I had.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So I totally agree with all of this, which is why I really like this. I think that we do experience stress when we see loved ones who are sick or struggling or co-workers or our kids or even, quite honestly, a homeless person on the street. When we see other human beings or even animals, for that matter, suffering, it's a lot. It's a lot to take on.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that it used to be so much for me to take on that if I wasn't able to rectify it, and we've talked about this, if I wasn't able to rectify it in the moment, I didn't want to know about it. And I was like, no. If I can't fix it, don't tell me. If there isn't a solution, I don't want to feel the pain because it would just work me over. And when I went to India, there's no way to escape it. Right? We talked a little bit about that trip, and you can't run from it. You can't hide from it. You can't avoid it. I mean, you will see human suffering and stress all around you. And it's the animals, it's the people, it's children. It's awful. And when I came home, well, first of all, two things happened. There was something that is probably not appropriate to talk about on the show, and I don't know, there might come a day when I do, but right now it's a lot. But there was something that I had to do in India that was really hard for me. And to make a very long story short, there was an animal that was suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And horribly. And anyway, it was one of the worst things I've ever been through and one of the things that I am the most proud of because I found a way to handle the situation.
Right.
It really effed with me for weeks. And other things about it. And on my last day there, I had had this guide in India, right? I'd had this guide and my friends were kind of doing last minute shopping and I was in a corner crying hysterically. I just couldn't function.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm sorry. I ended up talking to this woman about what had happened. And she's like, you know, this was meant to happen and you were meant to learn something from this. And, you know, you were meant to do this for this. Ugh, it was the worst. Honestly, I don't want to become hysterical, but you were meant to do this for this creature and you were meant to have this lesson. And I think one of the lessons for me was, you know, what happens when my mom gets older,
mm-hmm.
you know, the things you go through, like what happens if a loved one gets sick? Like I don't get to go bury my head in the sand here. I don't get to be like, well, I can't fix it. So I don't want to deal with it. And it was like the universe was trying to kind of hey, you know, you're going to have to find the strength. And, you know, she goes, but there's a time when you will have to leave this behind. And she was trying to teach me how to literally, like, cut the cord. She's like, the work has been done. The agreement has been fulfilled. And now you need to move on. And I was having a real hard time with that. I was feeling very guilty about leaving India behind me, the people behind me, the animals behind me. And I had survivor's guilt to a certain extent.
Sure.
And I was talking to my mom about it. And she's like, honey, this is masochistic. She's like, for you to want to stay in that place is masochistic. And you have to look at why you're feeling the need. And I was like, I can't leave them behind. I'm leaving them behind. And she's like, you're not leaving them behind. And what the teacher in India was trying to tell me is that if you endeavor to go on and help another down the road, you will need to cut this cord once the job is done and leave it behind you. Do the work and leave it behind you. And my mom said, it's not that you don't lose your empathy, and it's not that you don't care, but you also will have to at some point distance yourself and separate yourself for A, your own sanity, your own well-being, because if you're not able to take care of yourself, you're not going to be able to ever help anyone again. Mm-hmm. And also, yeah, to be able to help other people again. And that's kind of been an interesting thing on Biggest Loser, something that the contestants really, oh my God, it's... And I try, you know, previously in previous seasons, we would try to say in the beginning, listen, because we have over 1,000 contestants at this point between Australia and all the seasons of Biggest Loser. I mean, it's like there's, I don't know, a lot of contestants and hundreds, at least 600 to 1,000. And there isn't a week that goes by where I don't get a request from at least one of them. Not a week that goes by. Can you get me a bike for the Malibu Triathlon? I want to open a gym. Can you show up and open it for me in the middle of the country? Can you send me Body Revolution? Can you call a doctor for me about blah, blah, blah? And of course, I can't. You know what I mean? Like, these managing the contestants would be a full-time job and their needs. And it's almost, it's like having kids. It's like having 600 kids, mm-hmm. some of whom I knew for a week, quite honestly. And I try to say to them, like, this place, and Bob came up with this analogy. He's like, you guys have to understand, you know, we are human. We have families. We have a career. And this time is almost like the emergency room. So you're coming into this emergency room, and we're here right now at this place and this time to help you get strong enough and healthy enough to be able to move forward. And not only do we expect you to move forward, we expect you to pay it forward. You know, we're right. investing in you to take this information. It's like we reach one, teach one, reach one, teach one. And I had to get to a place where I was able. It's not that I don't care about my contestants. Of course I do. And it's not that I don't stay in touch with many of them. I don't like all of them. Just because they came to the ranch doesn't mean I have to like them. There are some of them I think are not the greatest people in the world. I don't stay in touch with them. I don't think that they're, you know, but a lot of them I do. But I can't continue to be their mommy.
Right.
And there is very much a projection onto Bob and I, because we were always the mommy and the daddy. And so if it was like, you're the bad mommy, you're the good mommy, you abandoned me, mommy. And it's very hard to kind of get them to a place of like, no, I'm not your mommy. Like, I know you need to play these issues out and I'm here to help you work through them, but I'm actually just Jillian. And you know, and we're here at this time in this place and I'm trying to help you as best I can with these issues. But there does come a time where you do the work and you help someone, but you will need to cut it and leave it behind you. And there are people that I've been able to help and wrap up neatly and nicely and be like, I was able to help this person. Yeah. And you know, Danny Allen, it's like I was able to help her. And here's a girl that, you know, has now opened up a yoga studio, is in love. I think she's engaged to this guy who's adorable. I've met him several times now. Her health is fantastic. And she's out there in the world, you know, preaching a message of empowerment and wellness, right? And that was a perfect scenario. And Danny, you know, Danny and I check in with each other every now and again. And great. But there are some that, you know, it isn't, you can't wrap it up that nicely in life. And, you know, you're able to bring them so far and they're not ready to move on. And you can't stay there. You can't blame yourself. And I think that's really the message of put the oxygen mask on.
Right.
Or even in India, it's like, I can't save Jesus, I think it's 1.2 billion people. Who do I think I am? God? I'm not God. I can't do it. And when I was there, I did what I could do. When I've come home, I continue to do what I can do. I continue to try to be a better person. And I've learned so much from that experience. And I looked at the ways that I've contributed to suffering in the world. And I've tried to change it as best as I can. I work on it, obviously. It's not something that happens overnight. But it's just, because I think there's a guilt about stepping away.
Sure.
And I know that I've had that guilt so much. And it's not serving anyone, especially the person you're trying to help, because mm-hmm. you just end up drowning with them.
Mm-hmm.
And so you go in, you do what you can do, and then you cut the cord. And I remember even Mary Steenburgen had said this to me once, because she's very spiritual, her and Ted Danson, actually. And he told me he remembered the day that Cheers, because it was like the 118th show out of 118 shows when it first launched. It was the bottom of the barrel. It was Flop City, right? And then all of a sudden, something had happened and Cheers became like the number one show on TV. And Ted said, like, he remembered there was some sort of announcement or like some sort of, hey, Cheers is the number one show or something like that. And he said he walked out of his house into the world and he immediately felt the energy of that being like, hey, it's the number one show, like all that focus. And it messed with him a little bit for a while. And they were teaching me how to kind of stay grounded and how to stay in my truth and not really be affected by other people's projections and opinions. And to do what I do, you have to, because so many people project into me all kinds of things sure. that are not real, for better and for worse.
Sure.
I'm the worst person in the world to I'm a savior, which neither one is obviously the truth. But Mary had told me, like, I want you to visualize all these strings attached to you and cut them. And just, you know, cut them clean. And I was like, oh, I can't get the guilt. And it's like, you're not leaving it behind, but you're also not allowing it to sink you. And if you allow these things to sink you, then it is masochistic and it is your own fault.
Right.
And if you aren't allowed to keep yourself on solid ground and healthy and stable, you'll never live another day to support somebody else. You'll just be another person who's suffering and struggling and that someone else is going to then worry about. So it's about finding that balance. And I think the way we do is releasing some of that guilt.
Well, for someone who didn't get anything out of it, I thought you just did a wonderful speech.
Thank you.
All right, so you guys know that we get new sponsors to the podcast, right? So we got one called Footcardian. And Autumn, my lovely assistant here, works with the sponsors and she writes the copy for my spots, which of course I never adhere to. So listen to what Autumn wrote. I just can't believe. So I recently stumbled on this new website. Oh, and I thought it would be a really fun thing to share with all of you, especially with Father's Day right around the corner. You guys have to check these guys out. They are a site devoted solely to fun socks, sweaters for your feet. A subscription to Footcardian will get your dad. What about me, though? What if
or,
I, is it just for men?
Or,
no.
What if I want this?
Yeah. So, okay, so we'll say...
Or the recipient of your choice, in my case, my boyfriend. It doesn't even have to be a guy.
Oh, it doesn't have to be a guy. Thank you. Okay. Will be the recipient of your choice, one random pair of whimsical socks delivered to his or her mailbox. You heard that right. Dad will remember your awesome gift every month for as long as you want him to. This is kind of genius. You can sign up for 3, 6, 9, or even 12-month prepaid subscriptions that deliver a fun new pair of socks every month. That's cute.
I thought it was really cool.
It is cute. I wonder what they have on there. Can you choose or it just, how does it work?
No, you can't choose. Oh. That's why it's a random
You never
pair.
Know what's coming.
Another cute little feature that they offer that I signed up for is someone's kid colors. They take coloring projects from their school artwork and they use that as the wrapping paper for the socks. It's really fun.
All right. So right now for our listeners, footcardigan.com is offering 10% off any subscription. Go to footcardigan.com and enter Father 3.
That's lowercase f-a-t-h-e-r and the number 3 during checkout. And your dad will remember this Father's Day every single month. But of course, if you're getting it for you, I guess you can still enter Father 3, right? Yeah?
Yeah.
Cool. So, one of my good friends is on our show today. Don't embarrass me, Janice. Don't embarrass me.
I know. I'm going to stand in the corner.
Please. Maria Menounos is here. Hey, Mama, what's up?
Hi.
What's going on?
Oh, you know, just everything. Hustling as usual.
So, Maria is on specifically today because the finale for her show, Chasing Maria Menounos, is on tonight on Oxygen. Right, buddy?
Yes. It's been every Tuesday night for 10 weeks, well, 9 weeks. Tonight
wow.
is the series finale. It'll be on Oxygen at 10:30.
Okay.
And, you know, we've taken a long ride. Obviously, you know, I'm constantly struggling trying to figure out when to get married, when to have kids, when the right time to do all of this stuff is. And I still am a little confused. But we've gone on this journey in this show where Kevin, last week's episode, he had a surgery so that we could have kids because he had a little bit of a problem.
Okay.
And he went under the knife to fix it so that we would be able to be prepared when we were ready to go.
No conclusion on that yet, huh?
No conclusion yet. but in this episode, we go home to Connecticut. Kevin's getting baptized Greek Orthodox.
Oh, wow.
In front of all of our family and friends so that, you know, we're one step closer, and we're kind of giving my dad something because he's been waiting in the wings for 16 years for us to do something.
Yeah.
So this was kind of like a mini wedding. It was really nice.
Oh, that's really cute. I can't believe he did that.
Yeah.
I love that. But right now, here's the thing. Let's be fair. I think with kids, taking that leap, I don't know that you're ever ready for that. You know what I mean? I've got two of them for 2 years now, and I'm like, I don't know that we're ready for this.
Right.
Maybe we should push the pause button on this and wait for a couple more years. But I think that, do you feel like you're any closer to it? Where do you think you're at? Are we going to find this out next season?
I mean, here's the thing. I'm never doing anything for a television show.
Of course.
This is all, like, real life. Whatever's happening is happening. I'm not going to be that person. But I will say I definitely think I'm getting to the end of the line because I'm turning 36. So if I'm going to naturally have a baby,
yeah,
I don't want to wait too long because you just risk too many things.
Yeah, of course.
So I'm kind of thinking, like, you know, a year.
A year.
I might have a year pad and then we got to get to it.
You know what? It was when I turned, I think, honestly, 37 that I thought, okay, it started around 36, your age, when I thought, maybe, you know, possibly. And then at 37, it was like, all right, yeah, we're going to get really aggressive about this. And then at 38 is when it all kind of came into fruition. And it's still, I got to tell you, Mama, especially with you, somebody like you who is a businesswoman, quite honestly, an athlete, and we'll get to that in a minute, but, you know, takes care of your health, takes care of your family, a family woman. It's always going to be a lot to juggle. And I can't ever say that you'll ever be ready, but I do appreciate what you're saying about the time frame. And I got to that point where I thought, you know, I don't want to be a 60-year-old with a 10-year-old.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly.
Or a 15-year-old for that matter. And so I know I, for one, will definitely be following your journey because I enjoy.
I know, it's crazy.
I enjoy the things you go through. It makes me feel less alone in the world. I'll say that without a doubt.
I just keep thinking, like, oh, God, I don't want to do it and then regret it because you can't change it once you've done it.
Nope, it's permanent.
It's the only thing in life you can't return.
No. Despite the fact that there will be days when you want to, yeah. But I will say, you know what? It was like yesterday I was having this day with my son and he hit 2 and has turned into the devil incarnate. And I was like at the end of my rope and I was like, I might kill him, Heidi. I might kill him today. And then I went to pick him up and take him out of his high chair and he just wrapped his little arms around me and was like, Mama, kiss. And I was like, oh, this is right. This is why you're here.
Aww.
And I was like, and it, you know, so girl, you'll have your own process with it. And I, for one, I'm going to really enjoy watching it unfold on your show.
Hilarious.
But now tell me, okay, so there's also a new book though called Every Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness. What made you want to write this?
Yes. I wrote my first book, The Every Girl's Guide to Life, and it was such a rewarding experience.
It was a bestseller too, I remember.
It was, thank you. It was such an amazing experience because it was the first thing that I did on my own. Kevin and I did it together, but I mean, you know, it wasn't a show I was attached to. It was something I created.
Sure.
And, you know, in the book I did have a chapter on how I lost 40 pounds, but you can't say everything in one chapter. So I expanded it and created the Every Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness. And it really is for the woman who doesn't have time, doesn't have money, and wants to figure out how to do this, because that's how I lost 40 pounds 10 or maybe 13 years ago.
Right.
I had to lose 40 pounds. I didn't have trainers. I wasn't lucky to be where I am now financially. And I did it. And I did it in a healthy way. I lost it over a year-long time.
Really?
Slow cutbacks.
Okay.
I wrote everything down I ate for a week in a journal, and then realized carbs was my problem and slowly started to cut back. And, you know, I talk about that kind of how I know that that's why I kept it off. Because if you do anything extreme and crash diet, like, I think it's kind of harder to maintain
it. You'll never maintain it. You're absolutely right. It's no way to live.
Yeah.
Without
a doubt. You have to really change your lifestyle and change the way you approach food. And I was approaching it like a football player. Like, I was in competition. And I was a size 14, and they were getting tight.
Wow.
Jillian, and
I would kill for that photo. You've hidden that before photo well. Is it in the book?
Oh, they're in the book.
Okay, I want to need... why didn't I get a book? Did it come in and you kept it again, Janice?
No.
Because
no,
I have the guide to life.
Press, literally. So I will get you a copy, but I...
better get a copy.
The front of the book has a picture. You know what's funny is I don't have a lot of pictures from that time because...
Yeah, me either.
You know...
You don't want to take pictures.
Well, also, you didn't have iPhones back then.
Yeah,
you know,
that's true.
So it's like you have to carry a camera. I never liked to. It was annoying. But I do have some, and they're in the book. As many as I had, I put in there. And, you know, I also, because of my life now, I get to interview people like you and other experts in the fields of health and fitness, and I've learned so much. I even think I talked about how you told me to drink coffee before a workout.
Yes, get caffeinated.
Yeah.
That's right.
And so...
I can't believe you remember that. That's
yeah.
funny.
Yeah.
I love that. I'm going to switch you over to eBoost now. I'm going to send you eBoost now.
Okay, perfect. But I feel like I've learned so much from the exposure I've had to everyone, but I've also gone through the journey myself, and I know how hard it is. I always tell people, you know, you have to think about the fact that you've eaten that cheesecake for years.
Yeah.
And right now, you're making a choice, and it's going to be hard the first couple of days, and then after that, it gets easier and easier, and you have to know that this is the time where you are focusing on something else that you want. You want to look better this summer. You want to look better at your wedding or whatever it is.
I call that your why. Why you tolerate doing things that are less than pleasurable in the moment and making sacrifices in the moment, because you gain the perspective
mm-hmm.
on how it pays off in the long run. And you're so smart to connect that greater goal and that bigger desire and the emotional aspects of weight loss in the program. And that's, A, not only how you lost it, but I imagine how you maintain it.
Yeah, absolutely. Like right now, I know I'm going to be in a bikini this summer, and I know I'm going to be doing all kinds of press. So I'm like, okay, I am choosing not to indulge on things the way I would normally indulge.
Right.
And I'm going to be a little better about it. And you just make these choices, and they get easier as you learn that they are in your control and that you can do it and that it does translate to results. Because I used to look at my legs. I'm like, how does this go away? This can't go away. This is mass. It's on me. So
I've had those moments before in my life as
yeah,
well.
Yeah. And then I also have some great recipes in there. My mom's such a great cook, and so we have some really healthy, yummy, fun recipes that people can make. And I always like to do things on a Sunday, like make up a lentil salad, a lima bean dish, and things like that that I could keep in the fridge for the week.
I love that. That's a great strategy.
Yeah, so you can just always have something healthy to grab onto when you're starving or you're like, what am I going to eat tonight? Well, instead of going out and eating something awful, you have something really healthy in your fridge.
Prepared and ready to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've often mentioned, because I don't have a ton of time to cook, doing exactly what you say, preparing things, not in the 4 to 6 serving, but in the 8 to 10 serving. So it is grab and go for you.
Exactly.
So there's recipes in it as well. Are there exercise in it?
There are. Yeah, there are tons of workouts. Actually, Andrea Orbeck.
My buddy.
My buddy, too. She helped me so much with with this. We did, I have Andrea's Urban Workout in there.
Oh, I love that.
And Andrea and I have been friends for years as well. And so she helped me as well kind of like focus all the things that I love doing into little circuits. So we've got some great workouts in there, some great recipes, lots and lots and lots of tips, you know, and it comes out June 3rd. It's available for pre-order, as you know, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books. And I'll be doing a few book signings throughout the country. I'm going to be kind of announcing those probably next week.
Okay. And where do we go to find out? Do we go to a website? Where we go? How do I know where I can come see you?
Twitter, Instagram.
Right, there's that.
At
okay.
Maria Menounos.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. There is that. This is what happens when you get
the
old.
Website thing yet.
I occasionally forget. Well, you don't need one anymore. No one goes there anymore because you're right. They all go to Twitter. So that was, yeah. So let's all follow. I follow you already. But follow Maria at Maria Menounos on Twitter and you will learn where you can go see her. So, buddy, I'm really excited. I can't wait to watch the finale because I've been watching the entire season and laughing my ass off at you, your expense. But that's right. That's okay, right? You don't mind.
You are so funny. Thank you.
And I can't wait to get the book, and I will be at one of these signings to get your little message of inspiration to me personally. And thank you so much, of course, for coming on. You know, all playing aside, you know how much I respect you and value your friendship and just think you're the best. And I really appreciate it.
Oh, I love you too. Thank you so much.
All right, Mama. Take care. Don't work yourself into the ground.
I love it. Thank you so much. And we have to get together. I'm going to have a book party, and I'll email you when we're doing that. But otherwise, the four of us should get together. Well, the six of us and the chickies.
Yeah.
So I can see what life is like with chickies.
No, because then you won't have kids. So no. No, I'll leave that.
You're priceless.
All right, Mama.
Thank you.
I'll talk to you soon. You too.
Okay, bye.
Bye. I don't put anybody who's considering having kids around a two-year-old.
Yeah.
No, I think my son has had a psychotic break.
I noticed from last year's tour to this year's tour was like night and day.
Oh,
like he became a little boy.
Yeah, yeah.
And so now he's.
Oh my God! But he went, honestly, it was like he was 1 year and 363 days old, or whatever, 364 days old, and he crossed over. Into the second year, and all of a sudden, I've never seen anything like it. Like, the things that upset him, I'm like, I can't understand what's happening right now. So, for example, he'll take his dog, right? He's got this little stuffed dog, and he wants the stuffed dog to lay a certain way on top of the toy chest with his guank, which is his blanket, tucked ever so. And it's like, then he's like, Mama, help, help. I'm like, okay, what is the problem? He's like, dog, night, night. Go night, night. I'm like, okay, the dog's going night, night. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, so what are we doing? Cover, guank, cover. So he wants to put the guank on the dog. So then I go to put the blanket on the dog. Yeah! And I'm like, Phoenix, honey, what's the matter? No, no. And then he throws himself onto the floor and starts screaming at the top of his lungs. And I look at Heidi like, help, please. Mm-hmm. And she laughs, not in front of him, of course. She's laughing her ass off. And I'm like, I don't understand. She's like, you've put the wrong side of the guank facing up. I'm not kidding.
Jillian, how could you not know what side of the guank goes?
I'm not
guank goes?
Kidding.
Everybody knows about the guank.
Yeah, I'm not. And it's just like, I mean, all hell's broke loose. It's like a whole new world. Yeah.
Yeah. See, this is a test for you. This is a good test.
Oh, my God. And Lou just looks at him and she's like, is he okay? Really? She just can't. He baffles her. Absolutely baffles her in the way that he baffles me. She was never really, I think, quite honestly, this is so awful, but because of everything she had been through, because he's about the exact age now as when we brought Lou home.
Right, right.
And two wasn't easy with Lou. Two was harder, but I hate to say this. I think that she was like, oh my God, I have a home and a bedroom and a family and food, that she didn't feel safe enough, quite honestly, to go through whatever it is he's going through.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't really go through that with her. And I remember the time I told you where she's like, I love time out.
Yeah.
Time out. Time out. You know, and then I put her in a time out and she was like, uh-uh, no more. And she's just, I don't know, it's just different. He's way more like me. She's way more like Heidi. But no, I will not be bringing the two-year-old around Maria, or it will be chasing Maria only for the rest of her life. Yeah, maybe a couple more years.
Okay.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.